Once a sinner, but I came, pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that he always kept his word.
His word, for there's a
new name written down in glory, and it's mine,
and it's mine,
oh yes, it's mine,
yes, it's mine.
And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner
has come home, for there's a
new name written down in glory,
and it's mine,
oh yes, it's mine,
yes, it's mine.
With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, nevermore to roam.
I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing naught but God's angry frown. When the heavens opened and I saw that my name was
written down, for there's a
new name written down in glory,
and it's mine,
and it's mine,
oh yes, it's mine,
yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner
has come home, for there's a
new name written down in glory,
and it's mine,
and it's mine,
oh yes, it's mine,
yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, nevermore to roam. In the book 'tis written, saved by grace.
Oh, the joy that came to my soul.
Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole.
Made whole, for there's a
new name written down in glory.
And it's mine,
oh yes, it's mine,
yes, it's mine.
And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner
has come home, for there's a
new name written down in glory,
and it's mine,
oh yes, it's mine,
yes, it's mine.
With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, nevermore to roam. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, nevermore to roam.
Amen. They pretty good, aren't they? Amen. I appreciate our men's quartet. They do a good job, and I'm thankful for them using their talent for the Lord. Well, perhaps someone has a word of testimony tonight before I get into the message. I just sense in my heart that a lot going on in our church family. Maybe God is doing something in your life. It'll help someone else if you share it with us. Maybe God is testing you, or maybe God is blessing you. Maybe God is blessing you by testing you. I don't know. Yeah, Sister Wendy, stand and speak loud and clearly so we all can hear you, please. We've been talking about David, I'm sorry. And I had a message I was going to preach. I want you to get your hymn book. Everybody get your hymn book. We're not going to sing. I just want you to, I want to talk to you about something. I was going to talk about, you know, when we were talking about David a couple of weeks ago, we talked about there's three areas of his life that really sum up his life. You know, they were the waiting years. You may remember we talked more about that. That was predominantly what the message that God had laid upon my heart to share with you. Those waiting years are listen, that preparation time is so important. And I just cannot express enough to our young people, our young couples, don't take that for granted. Use that time. God's got you in the place He has you in now for a purpose. And God uses those years. Now, when I say waiting, I don't mean inactivity. Some people think waiting is inactivity, that you don't do anything. That's not necessarily so. Actually, with God, that's never so. God is always preparing us for the next step, the next phase in our lives, and we need to be aware of that. All right? There were those waiting years, and then what we read tonight, and I don't want you to turn back to there if you've closed your Bible, but in 2 Samuel chapter 5, Brother Corey read kind of the beginning of the working years when the two kingdoms, the tribes of Judah, the southern and the northern tribes, Judah and Israel, came together after 7.5 years of Judah and Hebron. David was brought to Israel and they crowned him king there. They joined up, and for the next 33 years he reigned king, the Bible said, over all of Israel. Those were his working years, and then we have his waning years, okay? Those are the three areas. Now, something happened in David's life that I want to share with you. I want to give you some thoughts, and I'm praying about furthering this study. God laid some things on my heart. You know, a lot of David's life, and I stood here tonight and I listened to it. A lot of David's life was given to us from a historical perspective in 1 and 2 Samuel, historically. But you know, that's not all a person's life is. A person's life does not consist just of the legacy, the history of their life. Life is an experience. And we experience things. We have emotional and spiritual experiences in life. And what Samuel looks at historically from an outward perspective as you look on David's life, the Psalms. Now, I ask you to get your hymn book because this is our hymn book. Okay, this is what we call this. It's our hymn book, Songs and Hymns. But the Psalms is the Jewish hymn book. All right? It's the Jewish hymn book of 150 songs. David wrote about half of them. And when you read through the Psalms, they're experiential. In other words, there's people's experiences in those Psalms. There's songs about people's emotions and people's experiences. And I began to think about David, and many of those Psalms that David wrote, those songs that he wrote, was about his life experiences. And I want to share a few things with you. So I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Psalms. And when we get ready, you know, we'll say, take your hymn book. Well, when the Jews began to get together, they had hymns. They had psalms. And they sang those psalms. Sometimes when they were marching, they would sing psalms. When they were entering into the gates and of the temple, they sang psalms. And these psalms were written by people from their personal experiences with God, their relationship with God. It's great to read the Psalms. The book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms should be read by Christians often, if not daily, because it's about experiences. Brethren, we have experiences with God. I have a relationship with God, and you have a relationship with God. And anytime you have a relationship with God or with man, with a person, you're going to have experiences with them. And so from these experiences that David had with God, he writes a song about it. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Different places that God got David to write songs. And I want to just go through a few of them. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 40. The 40th Psalm was written from a horrible pit. I heard a couple of people mention that tonight. They mentioned getting saved. They mentioned the time in their life that God delivered them, set them free. David said in Psalm 40 in verse number 1, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Amen. David is writing this song from a horrible pit. And he's reflecting back in this life experience that he had. And he's going to tell us some things about how God allowed him to be in a horrible pit. And how God heard his cry. How God ministered to him in that time that seemed like it couldn't get any lower. Now that's an experience in life that we all need to hear about. Because I promise you, You're going to be in a low time in your life. Now, right now, you may be on the mountaintop. And I may be speaking to somebody that you say, you know what? I feel like I'm in that horrible pit. I've got a song for you. God's got a song for you. You go home and you read Psalm 40, and I'm going to tell you right now, it'll bless your soul. How God heard a man's cry from way down there. Say, God, here's your cry too. And God, here's my cry too. And so, regardless of where you are, the ear of the Lord is inclined to his people. I don't know where you are. I feel in my heart there's someone here, you're very low. I've got some good news for you. You never get too low where God can't hear your voice. Never. The arm of the Lord is not shortened. You never get too low to where God's hand won't reach down to you. Never. Even when you feel like you're in a horrible pit. Here's a life experience of a man of God, a man after God's own heart, that said, I want to tell you what it's like to call on God from a most unusual place. He hears you there too. And I want to give you that encouragement tonight. God hears you even from a horrible pit. But there's another place that David wrote from. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 57. Psalm 57. Look right under the heading there of Psalm 57. This is a psalm from a cave. You know, David, oftentimes, he was fleeing from Saul, and he spent a lot of time in caves. Now, I don't have time. If God allows me to, and I kind of venture out and branch off into some of these messages on where these psalms are written from, I'll share some things with you that probably you know, most of you, but it's good to be put in remembrance. Caves, when those caves in this eastern area are not like the caves we know of here today. Okay, I mean, you could fit houses in some of these caves. All right, listen, there were times when there were hundreds and thousands of men residing in these caves. All right? David's men and his family went to him in these caves of Adullam and other places. Here's what look at Psalm 57. To the chief musician, see right under Psalm 57 there? To the chief musician, Alasheth, Mithsam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. What a place to be. On the run, running. You feel like you're being sought after. You're trying to do right, and yet you're being persecuted. You're being sought after. You're wondering what is going on here. I'm trying to do right. I'm faithful to God. I'm tithing. I'm doing everything I know that the Bible says to do, and it seems like that everything that could go wrong is going wrong, preacher. Well, here's a psalm for you. Here's a psalm for you. When you're in that place, Psalm 57 is a wonderful psalm. See, David wrote about a life experience. He said, I'm in a cave. There's a man chasing me because I've done nothing to this man. I've done nothing but try to do right. And I count in the book of 1 and 2 Samuel no less than 24 times this man tried to take his life. Saul tried to take David's life. And David said, I want to tell you about something. I want to tell you when life doesn't seem fair and when it seems like everything's against you and you're in a cave and you feel alone, there's a God in heaven who hears you, who is touched with the feelings of your infirmities. The person sitting next to you may not fully understand what you're going through. We have a high priest in heaven who understands what you're going through. Don't you ever forget that. Don't you let anyone, like these liberal preachers that Brother Dan spoke of, or these liberal so-called theologians, or the devil whispering in your ear that your God doesn't love you. God does love you. And God does know what you're going through. So he said, I want to write a psalm. And he wrote a psalm from a cave. What an unusual place to write a song. Right? Turn, if you would, to Psalm 16. Let me give you a few more of these. It's not late. It's still daylight. I believe this will help you. Would you write these psalms down? You say, well, preacher, I'm not in a cave. Well, your life's not over. You write this psalm down for when you get there. I'm not in a horrible pit. The final stage of your life has not been written. Write Psalm 40 down. You may need it one day. You may need to share it with someone that is in a horrible pit. Psalm 16. I like this psalm. This psalm was written from a pleasant place. Some of you, as I heard you speak, I thought about that. Some of you's in a pleasant place. God's answered your prayer. He's reunited you with some of your family. He's given you a job. He's met a need. And so you feel like you're in a pleasant place. And that's good. But you know what? If we're not careful, adversity is not what gets many people away from God. It's prosperity. Right? I think Sister Putt was hitting on that a little bit. You know, sometimes we think it's the big things that's going to kind of bowl us over and we're going to fall out with God. But sometimes it's those small things. It's those little vines, right? Those little foxes. Got to be careful. Careful. Psalm 16. Look, if you would, and verse number 6. The lines, Psalm 16, verse number 6, David said, the lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. He said, it's just coming to me. In these pleasant places. He said, I'm opening my mouth. I'm picking up my pen, and God's just putting it in my heart. It's falling unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. David said, I've got it good. God's so good to me. You know, when you're in that place, it's good to sing songs. Right? It's a good psalm. It's good. You feel like God's been good to you, better than you deserve? It's good to read Psalm 16. It reminds you the best is yet to come. Amen. David said, look at verse number 10. He said, I'm going to leave. In verse number 9, he said, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth and my flesh also shall rest in hope. He said, I'm going to a place where I'm not going to see corruption because Jesus, the Holy One, did not see corruption. In verse number 10, verse number 11 says, that will show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. He said, it's great. Life is great, but it's going to get greater. That's the pleasant places. He wrote a psalm there. And it's good to remember that. When it gets as good as you think it can get in this life, I got news for you, Christian. It's going to get better. Amen. We're going to a land that is fairer than day. Amen. I'm talking about the sweet by and by. It's real. It's real. And so David writes about that life experience. Let me give you just a couple of more. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 32. In Psalm 32, you know what Psalm 32, David had sinned. Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 is written when David had sinned with Bathsheba. And in Psalm 32, David makes a reference that arrested me. I'd never seen this before. In Psalm 32, let's see, let me find it here. In Psalm 32, look if you would, I've got it in verse number 7. Thou art my hiding place. David wrote a psalm in a hiding place. He was embarrassed. He was ashamed of what he had done. He had already acknowledged his sin. In Psalm 51, he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. God, I'm sorry. He began that psalm by saying, have mercy on me. God, I'm sorry. I've just made a mess of it. I'm just ashamed. But you know what? He realized God was his hiding place. You ever feel like sometimes just crawling up in a bundle and just hiding? Well, if you do, make sure you hide in God. Amen? Just make sure you hide in Him. Make Him your hiding place. Psalm 32, verse 7 says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. David was encouraging himself in the Lord in this psalm. I don't know, maybe there's someone here tonight. Could be a young person. You've done something. You've messed your life up. Or at least you feel that you have. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus, He specializes in fixing that which is broken. Making that is wrong, right. Giving that seems hopeless, hope. Jesus specializes in that. He wants to be your hiding place. He does. You say, preacher, you just don't know. I've messed it up. I mean, I've done some boneheaded things, but I mean, this one's big. When you read 2 Samuel chapter 11, you find out that I don't know that it could get much bigger than adultery, covetousness, lying, stealing, murder. David said, I'm ashamed. And God said, come here, son. Let me enfold you in my loving arms and let you know that while I'm not pleased with what you have done, I'm not going to forsake you to yourself. Hide in me. Rest in me. Find your hope and help in me. That's God. God will do that for you. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. God's not asking you to understand it. These Psalms are not about understanding. God's asking you to experience it. Experience it. All right? I'll give you one more. Psalm 63. I've got a few more, but I'll just give you one more. Psalm 63. Perhaps you're in this place. We talked about the mountaintop and we talked about the valleys, and we have mountaintops and valley experiences, right? Right, brethren? We do. That's right. Now listen, I want to be very clear here. I'm not a woe is me Christian. I'm not. I believe that if I'm going to rejoice on the mountaintop, that God expects me to rejoice in the valley. That's right. Brethren, if I can't rejoice when things are going, well, what I might consider bad or wrong, then why would I rejoice when things are going good? That means circumstances are controlling me. I want God to control me. I want to have joy in my life regardless of what I'm going through. And I know you do too. I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm not saying that you're backslid if it's not. I'm just saying that there's a place in God where you can have peace in spite of the storm. You can have joy in spite of the circumstances. Now here, David, notice what it says in Psalm 63. A psalm of David when he was where? In the wilderness. Now here's a psalm that's written in the stormy places, in the wilderness. Notice what he said in Psalm 63. He said, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I tell you, that's a hard place to be in life. A dry and thirsty land, spiritually. Can I tell you something before we bring our service to a close tonight? Now, brethren, listen to me. Anyone that tells you that the Christian life is all spiritual highs is lying to you. There's going to be these times where it seems dry and barren. And we'll wonder where God is, or maybe what is God doing? Right? There's those experiences that God takes us through. Here's a man after God's own heart, and he's in the wilderness. But you know, God gave him a song in the wilderness. God can do some things in your life in the wilderness just as well as God can do some things in our lives on the mountaintop. Because as we have heard in song, the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. Amen. Right? And so these psalms are written from experiences. And when you begin to read them that way, it just brings light to it. And I gave you some, just a few here. There's a few others. When you read, David will tell you, God will say, tell them, where you writing this from, David? Tell them what you're going through. It's not like a man sitting on a throne with servants all around him. Listen, when we think of King David, we may have that in our mind. Well, yeah, it's easy for him to write, you know, this and that, because he had servants and he had all this. And no, listen, this man was in the wilderness, a dry and thirsty land, right? This man was in a cave. This man was in a hard place, a horrible pit. This man was in troublesome times in his life, and he wrote about those experiences. And I pray that you would get it. Understand that. I don't know what you're going through. I have no way of knowing. But I know this, God does. God knows. And sometimes we want people so bad to know what we're going through. We just want them to know. We just wish, you know, I wish so much people could see my hurt, or they could see my disappointment, or they could see what I'm going through. And listen, that's human. We all desire that from time to time. And I'm just talking to you from my heart. But it's not as important that people understand what we're going through as God understands what we're going through. And you remember this, God always knows and understands what you're going through. So the Psalms. David, what a man. What a man. I'm glad God recorded. I thought about this tonight. You can stand to your feet. You've been sitting for a while. I thought about this tonight when I was just sitting at my desk a little while between church services and just kind of meditating and thinking. And I rarely preach. I'd like to say that I never preach, but I want to be careful. But I rarely preach without telling God, God, I can't do this without you. I need you. I need you to help me. I have no way of knowing what the needs of those people are, but God, you know. Please, speak through me. Help me to say something that would help them. God, give me something. I don't ever want to get so comfortable. And I tell all of our assistant pastors, I tell our young preachers, if you ever get comfortable preaching, there's something wrong. I tell our children, if you ever get comfortable singing, there's something wrong. If you ever get comfortable in ministry for God, there's something wrong. This is important what we're doing. It's really important. I thought about, I was sitting there and I was at my desk and I was just praying, God, help me. I want to help somebody tonight. And I was thinking about David. I thought, wow. I wonder if David knew that God was going to write his sin in a book, and that hundreds of thousands, millions and millions of people would read about his sin one day. I'm glad God didn't do that to me. What about you? But you know, some people try to do that for him. Don't you be one of those people. If you know where a person has messed up and fallen, you encourage them. Don't you be that person. You encourage them. As I said this morning, don't sweep it under the rug now. Don't be easy on sin, but you be gentle to the sinner. And you let them know God still loves you, and I love you, and I'll help you any way I can. I'll help you any way I can. You tell them what you've done is wrong, and God's going to deal with you about it. But I love you, and I'll help you any way I can. God will use your life if you have that attitude. And then when I jumped in the vehicle and got to coming to church, God said, I want to correct one of your thoughts you had there, son. You better be glad that I did record his sin and that I put it in a book. And so I stand corrected. I'm glad God told us about it. Aren't you? It shows us. Doesn't matter who you are, how powerful you might think you are, God will expose your sin. Right? And then God will do more than that. He'll say, now I want you to write about it. And so we have Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. That's the kind of God we serve. Now, why did God do that? Because he cares about you. And he cares about me. Read the Psalms. Great experiences. Let's bow our heads together. Heard some good testimony.